The date is virtually any given Sunday. The place is virtually any Christian home. All over the world, you will find scenarios like this. The young mother shouts upstairs to her five-year-old who has finally finished brushing his teeth and asking if he's found any socks that actually match, emptying an unfinished cereal bowl into the sink, checking the clock one more time, knowing that if she changes the baby's diaper, the whole family will once again be late for church. And the hardest part of the morning is the containing her resentment against her husband, who has sat there the entire time on his phone looking at whatever he's been looking at. If she's lucky, she'll be able to finish her makeup in the car on her way to the church. Then there's the 20-something-year-old male who presses the snooze button for the third time or fourth time. Why did he cave and agree to meet his friend at some church somewhere? To get the guy off his back, he's wondering, is there enough time for me to call and say I'm not feeling well? Then there's the single dad who honks the horn to pick up his fifth grade son, hoping to give his boy some sort of a consistent religious experience, but he's more looking forward to the after church lunch with his son. Then there's my family this morning. We'll just say we didn't get here until about 10 to 11. We won't say why. We were just running late. A 32-year-old single woman catches herself smiling at a stoplight filled with anticipation of the opportunity to go to church and to thank God for the job promotion that she would never, or that she never thought would actually come, but did and is now here, a part of her life. A 15-year-old girl who is fighting with her mom all morning about why she has to get up so early on her one day of the morning, or one morning of the week that she can actually sleep in. And she's upset with that. And mom is upset because she's watching her daughter call a Coke and a chocolate dipped granola bar breakfast. The daughter's response is, how is this any different than your double caramel macchiato frappuccino thingy and your blueberry cheesecake muffin? Anybody here know these scenarios? Yeah, I think we all do. We've all had these happen. Today I want to start our discussion on spiritual disciplines on the topic of worship. It is what we do every week. When we come here to church, I hope that's what we do when we come here to church once a week. Yet I'm not entirely convinced that we're all here to worship. We have all come today knowing Sunday morning is about worship. That is the focus of our time together. Am I right? That's the purpose of Sunday morning, right? Yet as we move through a discussion on the various disciplines, the spiritual disciplines of worship, it may seem like an odd one. Is worship really a spiritual discipline? Yet if we do not understand the point of worship, then we will come here. We are just opening ourselves to a time of frustration, of aggravation, of distraction, of boredom, instead of a time of joy and praise and life-giving celebration. That is what we are here to do. Prior to this pandemic, every Sunday morning, a minority of people in our city prepared to go to church. These days, the situation is more like a person who needs to roll over in bed, grab their phone or tablet 2 minutes before service starts, and debate whether or not they should wake up their spouse or their family. Do they just log in to church on their own, or will Instagram or YouTube grab their attention instead? Each of us has a story, a life that goes on from Monday through Saturday, and many of them rush to get to church on time, like I did this morning. Some people are on the fence all morning about whether they should really show up or not. And for those who arrive, who walk into church and take a seat, those who have logged in online, what is at stake? How much does it really matter what takes place within this next hour? Out of about the almost 20 people here in person, and I hope there's a whole other group online, this morning, we have come for many different reasons. I believe that some are hoping to experience Jesus. Some are here because they have always come and it's just where the car automatically goes on a Sunday morning. There are some here because they were told that they had to be here. Some came against their will, maybe even against their own better judgment. But I am glad that all of you are here and that you are here very honestly for the reason that perhaps maybe not even makes sense to you quite yet. And I'm glad that we are all here. But when we come together in person or online, we are a church. This is Maranatha. We can come to this time, and we have all been down this road. We can be bitter and angry at the world. We can be bitter and angry at God for the rough times in our lives. We can come here and give thanks and praise to God for all the amazing ways that He has blessed us in our lives. We all have experienced difficult times in our lives, and yet God has promised many things to us. He promised that He will never abandon us. He will never bail on us. He will never fail on us. Instead, He promises, according to Jeremiah, and I believe most of us are familiar with this verse, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." With promises like these, and promises which lead us to a better understanding of God's plan for you and I, His plans to prosper us, to give us hope, to give us a future, not to harm us, they should lead us into worship because we are thankful despite all of the difficult times, because we know God is for us. And if God is for us, frankly, that is our greatest asset. I know there's somebody here who thought I was going to say who can be against us, but if God is for us, it's our greatest asset. Over this past year, I've had a sabbatical, and more recently, COVID, which prevented me from attending church in person. Yet each week, I wanted to attend church. And so I did so online. And I thought about attending in person somewhere while I was on sabbatical, but I didn't want to take a spot from someone who is actually needing to be there. And I think there's a lot of people in our church this morning who aren't here for that very same reason. They wanted to leave a spot for someone. Someone who needs to be here in person. They can log in online. So I understand all of that. But the amazing thing is, I wanted to go because I wanted to worship God. That is what I wanted more than anything, was to worship God together. So what is worship? We throw this word out all the time in church. We talk about worship. What is worship? Well, worship is not about us. It is not about what I want or what makes me happy. Worship is about my coming to this, or to the place where I can respond to God's character and presence in my life. I want to say that again. Worship is about my coming to the place where I can respond to God and His character and His presence in my life. Now, that place may be my car, the church, my shower, bedroom, my basement, the park, walking down the road. The place, the actual location is not the place. The place is more of the mindset and the attitude that we have. The place is where you are. So for today, I have come here to Maranatha to thank God for all He is. I think upon the characteristics of God, and I believe that He is filled with love, with grace, with joy, with peace, with patience, mercy, compassion, and so many more of what we call character traits or attributes of God. I come here and I thank God, and I recognize that God's grace in forgiving my sins, for sending Christ to love me and to die for me. I come ready to say thank you to God for His compassion and never-ending love, His promise to never abandon me, no matter how bad I become. I come wanting to thank Him for His acts of mercy, for His creativity, for His many different ways that I have been blessed because of who God is. I acknowledge that He is just and faithful. He is a just and faithful, holy God who is unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign, eternal, and ever-present in my life. I also come here because I recognize how God is present in my life. Even in those moments when I pull away from God, when I become rebellious, I know that God is present with me, even in those moments. He has promised to be with us forever. And to do that, He sent His Holy Spirit, so that when Christ ascended and went into heaven, the Holy Spirit could be with each and every one of us, all at the same time, is something that I can't really explain more than that. I don't know how it works. But I do know that I don't have 0.1% of the Holy Spirit. I've got 100% of the Holy Spirit living in me. And so do you. And so does every believer around this world. Somehow it works. Is something we can't explain. We just take it upon faith. And I thank and praise God for being with me and my family and with you and every millisecond of every single day. Richard Foster wrote these words: "Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. It is kindled within us only when the Spirit of God touches our human spirit. Our spirit must be ignited by the divine fire. When spirit touches spirit, the issue of forms is wholly secondary." Foster is telling us that when God's Spirit touches our spirit, it leads us into worship, because when we are worshiping, we realize it is all about God and not about us. We seek to give back to God by thanking and praising Him. It comes from passages like Revelation chapter 4. "Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne, and they worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" Did you get a picture of heaven there? I mean, it's so hard to comprehend. But they are praising God because God is worthy. That is what worship is about. Worship is our response to God's worth. We seek to give God the glory and the honor and the power because God is the Creator and we are the created. We come and we thank God for who He is because He is worthy of it all. And when you follow the pattern of Revelation, we skip to the next chapter, chapter 5, and we read these words: "And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s, and they encircled the throne of the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." How much of any of that is about me or you? It is about God. Now, we may think that this is perhaps boring stuff. Maybe we think this is a boring scene and heaven is just, wow, this is all that happens. But it excites me. This is how I picture it. I'm going to use a human illustration because that's all I have. But every Bomber game, there are thousands of fans who are excited about going to the game. They get all dressed up in their bomber gear, including jerseys and hats. And for those who are really into it, perhaps they got the face paint and the fancy outfits and all that stuff. And they double check about 1,000 times that they've got their tickets, even though nowadays your ticket is on your phone, but you keep checking. It is there, right? You check your battery, make sure that it's not going to die, and you've got all that stuff, all your ducks in a row for that. And then you leave a couple hours before the game starts because you know that there could be traffic and that you want to get a good parking spot at the park and ride. And you're trying to get the good bus on the bus ride from wherever you're riding all the way to the stadium. And there's this buzz on the bus, this anticipation as people are excited to get to the game. And then you get to the game and everybody is milling around and there's lineups just to get in, and there's so many people dressed just like you are. And everybody's excited. And occasionally there's a fan from the other team and there's joking boos and but that camaraderie of football is there. And everybody is pumped. And you're ready to join in with the thousands of other people who you don't know to cheer on your team. And when they stand and they yell at the officials, you stand and join with them. When there's a bad play, you talk about it. When your team scores, you're suddenly high-fiving and cheering along with others within your rows. By the time the game is over, win or lose, you have been so totally absorbed by the game that the world crumbled around you. And if that happened, you wouldn't even have noticed. You were so totally absorbed in what was happening. You were engrossed in the game. And if you're anything like me, your voice is almost gone. Which is why I can't go to Saturday night games. That's how worship should be, sort of. A football game becomes chaotic and rowdy at times, and 1 Corinthians teaches us that worship is to be orderly and proper, and there's nothing in there about losing your voice. But with that said, we should be so totally engrossed in worshiping God that if it took a little longer than usual, we wouldn't complain. We wouldn't be worrying about the roast or whatever is in the crock pot at home. It'll be fine. We're not thinking about what restaurant we should go for lunch at or anything to do with food. We should be totally immersed in God, passionately, fully engaged in praising Him for who He is and the amazing blessings in our lives because we are His children. We are fans of God. The problem comes when we are with a simple fact that we're not wired that way in church. Because we are often talk about Sunday mornings and coming to church. That's a building. But on Sunday mornings, we come to worship in celebration. My hope is that on Sunday morning, when we gather, or whether in person or online, we come wanting and willing to have a worship celebration. However, our society has turned us into a me-first society. We think about what is in it for me. We're in a society that bases everything upon entertainment. If we are not being entertained, we are not too happy. Our attention spans have become shorter and shorter. It's like 20 seconds long before we need something different to happen. Should stand over here. Then something different has happened. Stand over here. When something different has happened, I've kept your attention. Whew, good. Sorry, it wasn't very entertaining. But they become shorter and shorter, and we easily become bored and need to have something change. We have come to church, and we think the same thing. We come thinking that worship is all about us, not God. So we walk away on a Sunday morning saying, I'm not really getting fed. Yet that's not the purpose of worship. I believe that we will all be fed by God when we give ourselves to God in worship. You know the old saying, it is better to give than receive? It is so true. It is so true in our worship. Because when we have really given ourselves to God, we will walk out of here having received from God, which feeds us, which inspires us, and compels us to grow and to change and to become more Christ-like. There's another saying that is just as needed. What you put into it is what you get out of it. If you come to worship God and you're distracted by any number of things and you hear the music but don't engage, you don't have a Bible because, well, the important stuff is going to be up on the screen. I don't really need to bring to anything. And even then, you don't really pay attention because you're too busy on your phone crushing candy or trying to figure out a word for that silly new word game. Or whatever. To even know what the sermon is about, if you walked out and said, yeah, we talked about worship today. When that happens, you walk away and you're able to say, I attended church, but honestly, I didn't engage with God. We need to take time before we come and prepare our hearts to celebrate and to engage with God. This is crucial for worship. The messages we hear all week on all types of media bombarding us with messages that is about us. And so the message we hear over 100 hours per week is satisfy yourself. You come first. If you wear the right outfit, you'll get the right guy or girl. Drink the right beverage and you'll be cool. Invest in this and get all the money and you'll live in the high life. Drive this car, drive that, and people will think you're cool. The list goes on and on. This is what the society wants us to understand. And on Sunday morning, we come to church. We're a little tired. Maybe we felt like we've been beaten up a little bit. But we come here wanting the same thing that we've heard about all week. The problem is, we feel like nobody treated us like that. They don't treat us like we're number one. Instead, we are treated like we're the bottom of a cesspool. Folks, this is nothing new. Psalm 100. Look at this psalm. It tells us all of these things. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That is what we come for. But we don't feel like praising. We just want someone to do something for us. And so when it comes to worship, or we come to worship as if we're going to get gas. We tell the attendant how much gas we want, and we're served. It's like going to a restaurant, and we put in our order, and the tip we leave is dependent upon how well they have served our needs. But worship is not about what's in it for us. Worship is a spiritual discipline. And sometimes we have to discipline ourselves to come here. Other times when life has gotten away from us, it's not going the way we want it to go, we have to discipline ourselves to come with a sense of thanksgiving and praise for the blessings of God. Worship is not a passive event. It is an action-oriented event in our lives. We cannot come here just to sit. In worship, we respond to God actively and focus upon Him. And when we close this morning, I have chosen a classic familiar hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise to thee. Take these words to heart. And this week, as we go throughout our week, we need to prepare ourselves to worship, because worship is not just Sunday. Worship happens every single day. We can worship God in the car. We can worship God as we walk. We can worship God as we work, whether we're at work or at school. Worship happens 7 days a week. We just need to prepare our hearts for that worship of God, in thanking and celebrating who He is. And so, team, I'm going to ask you to come up and lead us in this last song. Hang on just a second. Before you come, I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for who you are. Lord God, you are so much more than we realize. You love us so much. You give us your grace each and every day. You are just. You are faithful to us. God, you are holy, a concept that we don't even truly understand, but we know that you are holy. God, you are all-powerful. You are always present. You are all-knowing. You are all of these things and so much more. You are joy, you are peace, you are patience. And you show these things to us every day. Help us to recognize them and to recognize you and to focus more upon you and less upon us. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, that is who you are, for you are worthy of all our praise. Blessed be your name. Amen.